is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer Phyllis Schlafly.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 is coming up for reauthorization next year. This is an important civil rights law because it eliminated barriers that historically kept many black citizens from voting. However, in 1975, this law was hijacked by those who wanted to pander to foreign-speaking minorities, and a section was added to mandate foreign-language ballots. This didn't help the blacks at all because they speak English and don't need foreign-language ballots. The law now requires that before each election, the Department of Justice issue regulations that require states and counties to provide foreign language ballots if more than 5% or more than 10,000 voting-age citizens belong to one of the favored language groups. The choice of languages is very discriminatory. The foreign language mandate is limited to Spanish heritage, Asians, American Indians, and Alaskan Natives, while Italian, German, French, and other languages are excluded from the law. The use of ballots in multiple languages greatly increases the likelihood of errors because of difficulty in translation. In one New York election, Chinese language ballots were mistakenly printed with no in place of yes. And in another New York election, six polling places reversed Democrat and Republican. 466 local jurisdictions in 31 states must now provide foreign language ballots. These are unfunded mandates on the states and function like a tax that Congress imposes on state and local taxpayers. The Government Accountability Office reported that Los Angeles County taxpayers spent $1 million to provide ballots and election materials in five languages in 1996, escalating to $3 million in seven languages in 2002. In several counties, the cost of foreign language ballots is more than half the entire election expense. The foreign language sections of the Voting Rights Act should be allowed to expire next year.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. If you agree that foreign language ballots in U.S. elections are a waste of money and contradict the ideal of our American melting pot, write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for a free information packet on foreign language ballots. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, or online, eagleforum.org. And join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Heavyweight in the fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating the popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. Folks, I spent Friday night in Waco, Texas. Beautiful place. Beautiful little town about 120 miles south of Dallas. The kind of place that any American would want to live in. With good people, polite people, some of the best food I've ever eaten, and every job in the town was done by an American citizen, including every waiter, busboy, hotel housekeeper, and gas station attendant. Americans of all races, but every job I saw was done by an American. Is that amazing or what? I enjoyed my stay there that night. Until night turned to morning. Around 1 a.m., I heard a strange mechanical sound, which I later found out was an early warning tornado system. Soon after that, two tornadoes came through Waco, Texas. Now, being a California boy, I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe they were shooting a movie outside. You know, I stepped out onto the balcony of the Best Western Motel on Highway 84, and I watched as the lightning strikes were every second or maybe every 2 seconds. I felt the marble-sized hail hitting my feet and hands, which were bare at the time. And what? Yeah, I was in my drawers, folks. That's right. And I watched the power transformers exploding all over town as the power went out. First in our block where the motel was, and then every block south, east, north, and west of where we were. From my second-story rooms, nature's fireworks were awesome, folks. I watched them. Nature's really something. There was lighting up the sky like you wouldn't believe. There was noise. There was cracking. There was thunder. There was hail. There was everything. And the next day, the fireworks continued. And they were awesome also, but they were man-made fireworks. I'm talking about the fireworks 20 miles away in Crawford, Texas. I'm talking about the fireworks at the Rumble at the Ranch. That's right, where American citizens gathered, 500 of us, braved pouring rain and thunderstorms to get into the face of the President of the United States in his own backyard to show him how he sucks. Absolutely. Here's a guy that has not listened to us, and we were there to show our disapproval of the way that he's handling the illegal invasion situation of the American people. Man, those Texas folks are the real deal. Let me tell you about them. They were hospitable, extremely enthusiastic, and angry beyond anything you could imagine. There were people there from California, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee, Nevada, and a whole lot of folks from the state of Texas, all over Texas, towns I had never heard of. But they were there, and they were representing. People of all colors, too. We had Hispanic folks, black folks, Asian folks, and a gang of white folks. Everybody was there representing one thing and one thing only, and that was to stop this invasion of the United States of America. Before the rally began, it rained for one solid hour. Hard, very hard. The kind that stings when it hits you. The kind that turns your umbrella inside out and slaps it back in your face. It muddied the already saturated ground and left 2 inches of standing water that people sloshed in for the next 3 hours. But they didn't care. No, they did not. 500 good Americans gathered there, and they were not dismayed by a little water. And they gathered under a big tent to exercise and exchange their American rights. They talked about ideas and networked. And then each and every one of them got together and said what was wrong, but they also thanked one another for the work that's being done in different regions of the country. They mostly thanked us Americans of California persuasion who have really bared the brunt of this illegal invasion. They thanked us for being on the forefront of this and taking the biggest hit and the first hit. And now the rest of the country is seeing exactly what we've gone through. We are winning this war, folks. I really realized that this weekend. I knew it before, but this reinforced it in my mind. We won a few battles, and we are winning the war. And that was the theme of the meeting. Only second to the disdain for President Bush and the United States Senate. Did you hear what I said? That was only second to the disdain for the president. That's what I heard more than anything else, was how people are against this man now. This is the first president in the history of my 57 years that I can honestly say is hated by the conservatives and the liberals. I've never seen this. Usually the liberals like their guy, the conservatives like their guy. Everybody hates this guy. It is unbelievable to me how he got back in office. We won't get into that. We only got an hour. But I'll tell you this, now people would replace him if they could, mainly because of what he has done. A lot of people disagree with the war. We ain't going to talk about that either. But on immigration, on this illegal alien invasion, people are angry. They are pissed. They're mad. And the reason is because the president is against the majority of people. Anybody that tells me the president is a good man is an idiot. He is not a good man. This is an evil man. This is a man who, I don't know if he's evil or dumb. I don't know which one it is. It's one or the other, maybe a combination thereof. But the point is, he's not listening to the American people. We have spoken on this issue. We have talked about it. 80% plus have said over and over and over, we don't want no amnesty. We don't want no guest worker program. I know that's bad English. I love it, though. And let me tell you something else. We have said to him many, many times, we want these people deported from our country, but he says it can't be done, and we know it can be done. And guess what? Some kind of way it will be done. Trust me on that. I can't tell you how many people at this event wanted to impeach the president. I'm telling you honestly, I'm being honest with you. You may not like what I say, but I'm telling you the truth. These people were talking impeachment of the president. They want him out of office. Now, I know there's some Republican out there saying, oh, he's better than Kerry. He sucks, and suck is a term that goes across the board. There's no degrees of suck. This guy's horrible. And Kerry was horrible. I'm not saying I wanted Kerry. I did not want him. But I didn't want this man either because I knew what he was. And these people from Texas, where he was a governor, they told us they didn't like him then, and they don't like him now. But some of them did hold a nose and vote for him because he was considered the lesser of two evils, which you know what that is. That's like picking the best turd from the toilet, but that's just my opinion. I'm going to tell you something else, folks. We had a great time out there. We spoke English. Everybody out there had the same basic culture. Everybody out there had the same basic demands. Everybody out there had the same basic thoughts. We love our country, but we do not trust our government. That is a fact. I've been to these types of events many times, and I love every one of them, but this one was the best. I'm sorry, folks who put on other events. I'm sorry. This one was the best. And I would have to congratulate Frank George, an immigrant, a legal immigrant, who is one of the best Americans that I have ever met in my life, bar none. He should be applauded for putting on a fine, informative, patriotic event. We all had a great time. And after leaving the event, we drove back to Dallas Airport, four of us in the car. We got on our 10 p.m. flight back to Los Angeles. And before the plane took off, I was sitting there thinking about the day's events, folks. I had a window seat, and I'm leaning up against the window of the plane. I'm thinking about what happened. And I just decided that I was going to change the subject in my mind and think about some other things because I was kind of tired. It had been a long day, even though it was a great day. And just as I decided that, I began talking to the people sitting next to me. Two very nice people, good Americans, who came to this country 40 years ago from what was then Czechoslovakia. Very nice lady and man, husband and wife. Now, believe me when I tell you, I didn't bring this up. I swear to you, I put my head on 10 feet of Bibles if you want me to. I did not bring it up. I swear to you, I didn't. It was them. In their thick accents, but very good English, they told me what it took for them to get to this country. And then they proceeded to tell me how angry and outraged they were over the ease that illegal aliens could come to this country now. It pissed them off to see what illegal aliens are getting away with after what they had to do to get here. I'm telling you, I didn't bring it up. I just sat and listened. I sat and listened, gave them my last business card, asked them to listen to the show. But they went on and on and on about how angry they were. And then they both looked at me, and almost the same instant, they both said, "This is not immigration." They used the I word. I swear to you again. They said, "This is an invasion. This is two legal immigrants that came here 40 years ago said this. This is an invasion." I almost laughed out loud. I said, "Wow, they've got it. They understand." What's the chance of that happening? People sitting next to me of all people, and calling our present situation in America an invasion. What a wonderful weekend it was, and it was all summed up by these two great people on the airplane. I'm telling you, folks, we met nice people all weekend. We went out there together in peace. We had some harsh words for our president. We're not being disloyal to our president. We are trying to wake this man up. That's what we're doing. And anybody that says we should sit back and just let him do what he's doing is an idiot. Anybody that says we shouldn't speak up and exercise our First Amendment rights is an idiot. And anybody that says he's doing the work of the country and he's a good president, check out that 33% rating that this guy has, and that's going in the toilet. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits an all-time low. I'm not happy about that. I don't want him to hit an all-time low. I've been trying to like this guy for 6 years, but he won't let me. He won't let me like him, and I'm trying to like him. What he has done is alienated me and every other American who either voted for him, supported him, or wanted great things from him. We had the rumble at the ranch, and I'm sure he heard about it, and I'm sure he knows about it, and I hope it will sink in and do some good. On that one, I hold my breath. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network. They're back. That's right. The famous Terry Anderson Show pen is back. Ask anyone who has one of the original pens. They're the bomb, and the new ones are even nicer. And for a $15 or more donation to the show, we're going to send you one. Stop trying to lift that bunk plastic pen from the counter at the post office. You don't need it. The Terry Anderson Show pen is the real deal. Sleek, refillable, laser engraved with a quote from yours truly. You'll spend all day making sure no one walks away with yours. Send your donations to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. That's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. This is the Terry Anderson Show. show and we talk about the illegal alien invasion. And I want to remind all you good folks out there that have friends and relatives who could not hear the sound of our voice, you can hear us live by going to our website. That's the TerryAndersonShow.com. I want to welcome all the great folks tonight in Phoenix. We love you guys in Phoenix. Listening on KFNX 1100 AM, KDON, KDWN 720 AM in Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the good folks listening on the RBN network all across the country. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out, whatever you want to do, but you're going to get back all that you give and then some. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. Tonight we got a winner. Dick Morris, Washington hack. I remember watching Dick Morris cover Clinton when he was the president. He'd make excuses for him, clean up his messes. You know, if you want to know what Clinton had to eat that morning, you checked with Morris. Figure that one out, folks. Well, now he's a paid analyst for Fox News, where he beats the hell out of the Clintons. What a hypocritical person. He does this every chance he gets, and that's okay. That's his business. But when he makes traitorous statements like he recently did, then it becomes our business as American citizens. His take on illegal immigration has always been anti-American people and pro-invader, always. He is now telling the American government that the policies on immigration that they vote on should be voted on with consideration as to who is elected in Mexico. That's right. In other words, he said, quote, a harsh shift in U.S. politics could fuel a leftist victory in Mexico. We have only to hope that Congress won't pass legislation that alienates the Mexican electorate and delivers the country into leftist hands. López Obrador has attacked U.S. attempts to restrict Mexican immigration and will benefit tremendously if Congress alienates the Mexican electorate, end quote. What? He's worried about alienating the Mexican electorate. What about the American electorate? What about the American people that pay his money? Pay his check every week. We watch Fox News because it's a conservative station. That's where he's getting his bread and butter from. And he's telling us to be careful not to alienate the Mexican people. They may put a leftist in office. I don't care who they put in office down there. We got to do what we got to do. We got to do for this country without consideration to what happens down there. That's a fact. We've got to do for the American people who have been suffering for years that he doesn't care about. Somebody explain to me why we should be in the least bit concerned with alienating the Mexican electorate. I never heard Morris one time mention anything about American people. He never does. It's always flim-flam, government shuck and jive every time. I never heard him make one statement in our favor, and I never will. He's another Washington elitist, and he's rearing his ugly head about immigration, and don't listen to him. And it's a shame that Sean Hannity and O'Reilly have this clown on there. He's a traitor to Clinton. And he's a traitor to the American people, and he sucks. But more than that, he's the most horriblest clown of the week.
Without any further ado, we're going to speak to our guest now, a very lovely lady that's sitting right across from me. She's very radiant today, not only because she's normally beautiful, but she's in the family way. And that's when women are at their very, very prettiest, I think. We've got Brianna Bevins. She is the senior editor at VDare.com, one of the premier websites where you can go and get the truth on the Internet. We're going to talk to her in studio tonight. Brianna, how are you?
I'm great. Terry, how are you?
I'm just doing fine. As you can see, I'm worked up over this great event we had out there in Crawford, Texas. Fabulous event.
Good.
Well, you know, and I can't help it because I've got a passion for this. I live in it. And a lot of people that don't live in it have no passion. They're kind of bland, and they'll talk about it in generic terms. You know what I mean? But I'm in it, so I feel a little stronger about it than most people do.
Sure. Well, you live in it as well. You live down here in Southern California where it's a much more prominent issue.
Well, I've been here my whole life, and it's getting absolutely better, only because the American people are trying to make it better. We're working on it every single day, and we're going to keep doing it. This Crawford, Texas was a good deal, I thought.
Well, I'm thinking I should have gone. I mean, it was a great event, obviously, and a lot of people showed up, and Good people speaking the side of the issue that I speak. But I'm thinking that maybe I should have gone just to see Terry Anderson out in front of the Best Western in his drawers.
That was something to see.
I'm telling you.
Would have scared you to death. You'd have thought it was the return of the mummy or something. Who knows, you know? But absolutely, we had a great weekend. I want to talk about some of the stuff you write. I've read everything you write.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Well, on V-Dare. I'm sure there's other places, too. I've also read the stuff of a lot of good people, Joe Gazzardi and D.A. King, and really great writers. But I love this one. The shooter was an illegal alien, okay? Just say it.
Just say it.
Just say it.
Yeah.
Moi? Anti-Mexican? I mean, the titles, you know? Guest worker amnesty pushes GOP to the brink. Tell me about that one.
Well, that's the issue. About 10, 15 years ago, you never would have heard a Republican saying, oh, let's reward illegal behavior in any area.
Unbelievable.
In any area. Republicans are known to be the side that comes down, enforces the law, not only enforces the law, but writes the good laws. And, as we were discussing earlier, you think they would have learned from the first amnesty that they pushed through. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So now to see this once anti-illegal immigration party embracing it for reasons unknown.
Half of them.
Absolutely, half of the party.
Because there are some hardcore guys that are standing with us on this issue. So
sure.
We applaud that.
Absolutely. There are a few. But it's a hard thing to watch. You know, I worked in Republican politics for a long time. And it's a very difficult thing for me to write columns criticizing the GOP, criticizing the president.
But let's be real, Brianna. Fair is fair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who it is. I don't care what. See, I'm neither Republican or Democrat. But here's my thing. And I'm going to do my little disclaimer that I do every once in a while. I'm not against the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I just expect more from them than I expect from the Democrats. I expect zero from the Democrats. But the Republicans are supposed to be the conservative party. And I think a conservative approach is what's going to save this country. So therefore, who am I going to look to for guidance? I'm going to look to them to help us do the right thing. And when they're not, it's like your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're less concerned with the guy down the street's kids are doing, and you're going to beat the hell out of your own and make them good.
Sure. Unless what the kids down the street are doing affects your children.
That's right.
Then you care very much.
Then it's different.
See? Exactly.
But you're going to worry about home first. You're going to worry about the people you think you should be responsible for. And the Republicans should be helping us. They should be doing for us, and they're not doing it as a party.
No, they're not. And if they don't, my question is, who will? You know, Nancy Pelosi has been...
Wait a minute. I ate dinner now. You're trying to bring my dinner up. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I know. I say her name. I have to stop and take a deep breath. No, she's been talking all weekend about the Democrat agenda for the 2016.
I saw this morning
for the midterm elections. And she basically had 2 points that she wanted to make. The first was, if Democrats get a majority, they're going to implement a higher minimum wage. The second issue was... start some sort of impeachment process, although she was reluctant to use the word because she's sort of a chicken, but start some sort of impeachment process against President Bush. This is the Democrat agenda. Two issues.
Well,
they didn't even address immigration.
Well,
they didn't even mention it.
They're not going to because they're smarter than the Republicans are. They're going to be on the down low with that one. They've got their agenda, but they're not going to say it because it's stupid to say it.
That's right.
It requires amnesty, whatever they call it, and they know right now that's the poison pill.
That's pretty bad. When Nancy Pelosi is smarter than the Republicans, that's a scary world. That could be one of the seven signs.
Oh boy, that could be about five of the seven signs.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this. I don't agree very often with Sean Hannity. In principle, I agree with Sean Hannity,
sure.
But he's nothing but a Bush apologist to me. And I think he's a good guy, basically, if we could just get him away from that apologizing for Bush. But one thing that he does say that rings true with me now, you know, I said I'm for neither party. But he says, how would you like to wake up tomorrow morning and have to say, Nancy Pelosi... Speaker of the House. That would be devastating. I've testified at those hearings, and I'm going to tell you, if the Democrats were in charge, we would be in trouble.
Oh, how about Senator Dick Durbin, Majority Leader? Dick Durbin,
I have a personal story with him. I'm going to tell it later in the show. He treated me very racist when I was in his office.
Really?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He treated me very racist. He basically told me that my race needs to change our way of thinking to survive in this world. And I mentioned my brother to him, who was a very good carpenter. I said, my brother's work is being affected, Mr. Durbin, because you're allowing these illegal aliens to come in here and compete with my brother. And Dick Durbin said, well, your brother's just going to have to learn computers. I said, oh, is that right?
Hmm.
Now, here's a man put on this earth to work with his hands, but he's got to be a computer programmer because you want to keep illegal immigration going. And now, after he said that, we got the problem with the H-1Bs coming in and taking those jobs.
Sure.
So, you know, this guy's an idiot. And it was very racist the way he treated me, but Dick Durbin aside.
It's also proof that men with the name Richard who feel compelled to shorten it generally need to.
Oh, no comment.
Yeah.
Anyway, she caught me with that one, folks. That was good.
Hey.
Anyway, Let's get back to V-Dare.
There's Gephardt. Okay, go ahead.
Tell me about V-Dare. I mean, a lot of people read it every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good writers on there.
Yes.
What do you think the advantage for people to read these websites would be? I mean, it's obvious to you and I, but I'm
sure.
trying to push Peter Brimelow's website because I like Peter. He's a great guy.
He's a good guy. He's a great boss.
We shared a cab once and he paid, so I know he's a good guy. You know.
Wow, I'm going to remind him.
It was
to get me to pay.
It was in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I enjoy. There's a lot of good websites out there, but the ones that I read every day, I read V-Dare, I read American Patrol, of course. That's to me, that's the quintessential information site up to the minute because it's updated so much.
Yes.
And I also read a few others like Deport Aliens and a few more.
Sure.
But the thing I like about V-Dare is the variety of stories that you read on there.
Well, our focus is immigration,
absolutely.
Of course. But we also tackle everything multicultural. Nobody would call us politically correct, although we do. Our group of writers, our editorial collective, is really an eclectic group of people. We have liberals and conservatives and libertarians and Green Party. We have a little bit of everybody. Not to describe people just by their political affiliations, but really their backgrounds. And so you get every angle coming in and focusing on the same issue. So you get different perspectives.
What I like the most about it, you can read one article on V-Dare, and you can be in that article for about 2 hours because there's all these links in the middle of the article that are highlighted, and while you're reading, you go to those links to see what that was meant to be about, and it's like a big glossary, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly going from page to page, and one article that might take you 5 minutes to read might take you 2 hours to finish because there's so much information packed into it by way of links.
Well, it's almost one-stop shopping. If you're someone who's doing any kind of research on an issue, and you go and, you know, you might start on one of my columns, for example, that you mentioned the, you know, GOP push, you know, Amnesty pushes GOP to the brink or something. You're gonna come across 50 different links to different articles, but all somehow related. So you get background information, you get other perspectives, those kinds of things. And that's really what makes us unique. That, and of course, you're not going to read what we write anywhere else, especially in the mainstream media.
Not that type of writing either.
No.
You guys are not politically correct at all. I read some of the stuff by Joe Gazzardi and Alan...
Alan Wall, mm-hmm.
who I correspond with from time to time.
Yeah.
What a guy. I read some of that stuff and just you know, I think, where else could you get away with it? Where else could you write it? Where else? Then nobody's going to put that up. They're not going to put it up because I'm sure Peter gets a lot of heat for what's written there. As I'm sure this station gets a lot of heat for the things I say.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, I say, so what? They don't like it, put me off, you
well,
know?
Our thing is if you don't, you can read USA Today. Go right ahead or read the Los Angeles Times and read these very sort of cleaned up articles, very sanitary and politically correct. Go ahead. Or you can come over and read The Truth. It's really people's choice.
Yeah.
We are privately funded. And so we
which is tough sometimes.
It's a double-edged sword. It allows us to do what we want to do, but at the same time, we're dependent on viewers or on readers.
Well, obviously people like what they've read because you have stayed on the internet, and I know it can be expensive sometimes. Obviously people are enjoying it. That's important to note that it's like our show. We are funded privately, and it takes an enormous amount of money
to
keep this show going, and some kind of way we do it, and these people are so generous with their donations, and it has worked for us. We're gonna take a break in a few minutes. What I'm going to do, I'm going to keep you on, and I want you to help me do these phone calls tonight.
My pleasure.
And we're going to comment some of the things and said, and I'm going to let you answer some of the people. We've got a wide array of people on here. We've got people waiting from Tennessee, Illinois, California, and other places. We're going to go to a clip now. You know, folks know I play these clips. This one's by a guy who is the head of the California Assembly. His name is Fabian Nunez. You're going to love this. Now, people tell me that we're racist because we point out a statistic, maybe. Tell me what you think about this guy and what he's saying and what he thinks about America.
Get 10 people ready to go with us to that march in Washington, D.C. in 96. And I guarantee you, just as we mobilized 150 people to the streets of Los Angeles in October 16th, we can mobilize 1 million people and bring Washington, D.C. to a standstill. And those rednecks that are out there making decisions for the betterment of their communities will think twice before they push forward anti-immigrant legislation against our community. And so that we can show our people that the time has come for us to come together on what brings us together instead of to sit down and bump heads. And so I ask everybody here, how many of you agree, if we can leave here with one thing today, that in 1996, we are going to Washington, D.C. on a mass mobilization there to bring Washington to a standstill so that they know that we're there and that we begin to put into place those things that are necessary to ensure that we advance.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Economic and political fusion of our hemisphere. If approved, Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA.
This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration. I know you're tired of me saying this, but I got to say it one more time. We had such a ball. We had such a great time in Crawford, Texas, folks. Those of you who didn't go, you really missed it. And, you know, it cost a couple bucks to get there. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. Hotel rooms there are very reasonable in Waco, and we just really had a good time. Good folks, good food, good camaraderie, and just a like-minded bunch of people there who understood. And that's what is nice. And people say, well, why do you gather with these people? We reinforced one another. We talked to one another. We exchanged ideas and ideologies and philosophies. And we talked about the problem. And I got some real good stuff from some of those people. I met a guy named Earl there. What a guy. He walked up to me and told me how much he enjoys the show. And him and his buddy stood there and really made me feel welcome. You know what I mean? Here I am in Texas, which to me, you know, I've only been to 3 foreign countries in my life. And Texas was one of them. But, I didn't feel that way this time. These were some of the greatest people I've ever known, and I really applaud them for welcoming us the way they did. Let's get to the phones first. Before we do anything else, let's go to Ray calling from Kingston, Tennessee. Ray, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry. This is Ray.
How are you?
Listen, this is only the second time I called in.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you a question, though. I just got done watching your speech. It's the lead story on American Patrol.
Yes, ma'am.
And...
It's not.
Why are you not running for office?
I'm running from office.
It's time that you took Villaraigosa out.
Well, you know, Ray.
Give him a run for his money. You could do it.
Well, this town is so over with now that I don't think any American could win office here again. You know, you'd have to live here to understand that. If I ran for Congress or some other office, maybe it would be possible. I don't know. I don't want to work around those people because of the constant baths I would have to take, and I'd be washing my hands all day and putting delousing powder on myself when I came in. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around politicians. I appreciate the compliment of you thinking I'd be qualified, but I just really don't want to do it.
Terry, we are tired of hearing political doublespeak.
I know. I don't believe in it.
Straight.
Well, I try to.
Like it is. That's what people need. That's what we want. And like you said in Crawford, this is not about party. I don't care if you run on the purple peanut ticket. I will vote for you if you will do something about illegal immigration.
Well, Ray, I appreciate that. That's kind of you. We'll see. Okay?
Think about it, please.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ray.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Mike calling from Schaumburg, Illinois. Mike, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi there, Terry. This is Mike from Schaumburg. I want to first thank you for what you do. You do such a great job. And I was on the border down in Tucson from the 23rd to the 29th. And believe me, Terry, after seeing all those trails of those people coming up from the south, it just astonished me. They were worn down. I mean, there's thousands and thousands that came across those trails. And then watching the Border Patrol chase those people around like, we need a fence. We've got to get a fence. That's the only way we're going to protect this country. So,
well, you know what, Mike? A fence is a good first start. I totally agree. We need to build it. It needs to be 20 feet high. I don't care what anybody says about it. It just needs to be done. You know what I mean? That's a good first step. Absolutely.
And then interior enforcement.
No, we've already had the inferior enforcement. Yeah. We need real interior enforcement now. I would agree with that one. That was a good slip, Mike.
I'll let you talk to other people. It was great.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call, Mike. Take
Bye
care.
Now.
Guys staying up in Illinois listening to us tonight. Let's go to John calling from Lakewood, California. John, what do you hear? What do you say?
I want to talk about old Crazy Bush. You know how he was with the national anthem. He was saying, well, it should be sung in English. Well, what did he expect these nitwits that were going to sing it all in English, or are they going to do it in Spanish? He wants to have it both ways.
Well, you know what angered me, John? Not only did they see, a lot of people think that this thing was directly translated, and it wasn't. They changed the words and the sentiment of the song.
Yeah, I know it.
So that's what really angers me. And then for Bush to make the statement, well, it should be sung in English. Well, why don't you comment on what they've done to bastardize our national anthem, Mr. Bush? Why didn't you comment on that, too? I applaud him. I applaud him for saying the English comment. I'll give him what he's got coming. But why didn't he say something about the way they have just degraded our song? I mean, that's outrageous. There's three things you don't bother in the world. A person's flag, a person's song, and a person's mama.
I know it.
That's three things you don't talk about.
I know it. That's the way I felt, because he wants to have it both ways. He wants to bring all the illegals, and what do you think they were going to do with this with the song? They're going to change it because they want to have it in their language.
Well said, John. Thanks for the
Keep
call,
the
buddy.
Good work, Terry.
All right. Brianna, what do you think about this flag thing?
Excuse me,
the anthem thing. Excuse me.
I don't think I've ever had, I wrote about it just a few days before it really turned into this big story, and I don't think I've ever had so much email on one particular topic, just the outrage across for people who didn't necessarily even pay much attention to the issue of illegal immigration. All of a sudden were just outraged they would see something
angry.
Like that. It was just this, in the words they changed it to, it went from this great national anthem into this whiny, oh, the poor kids, and we're just trying to get a job. What's that all about?
Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing what's going on.
The backlash is interesting, though.
Yo, I love it. And you know what? Like my brother always says, the things they're doing out in the street, the things they're saying, we should write them a check.
Oh, absolutely.
We should write them a check. They are doing wonders for us. I wish they would march. There's supposed to be some other march here in L.A. on day after tomorrow, on Tuesday. I want them to march every day. I love the sign. I don't care if they carry all the American flags in the world. It doesn't matter.
Because we know where their hearts are.
I never.
It's the numbers. Nothing else matters but the numbers that we see in the street.
I never imagined I would send a thank you to Fabian Nunes, but I might.
There you go.
Yep.
Fabian, my man, what do you hear? What do you say? Let's go to Leon calling from Los Angeles. What do you hear? What do you say, Leon?
Hey, Terry, I haven't called you in months, but I've been listening.
Been a while, buddy. How you been?
Oh, just fine. Been listening to your show every Sunday night. And two things I want to say. Number one, about the march. I drove downtown that last Monday. I was on my route, on my job, and I saw some of them, you know, marching with the American flags and some with Mexican flags, of course. Down the street here near City Hall there, and see what happened there. That Simpson-Brenner bill,
right? 4437.
It was just like that bill that represented somebody throwing a rock at hornets. This and what it
yeah, had, that's good.
Says, all the hornets and bees, their arms spread out, and in the form of the marching, and not only in L.A. but almost every major city across the country. And also, too, Chair, I want to comment on that wall. They're proposing to build on the border. I don't think it's going to work too well because three things. Number one, they can fly over that wall. Number two, they can burrow under that wall, dig tunnels, and you know they found tunneling systems in Arizona under the border.
Leon, I would agree with you. I would agree with you if the wall was all we were going to do. But that wall, we're not saying just put up the wall, period, and then walk away. The wall would be a first step in the defense of this country, and I think it's necessary. It will stop some of the people. It will slow down some of the people, and it will take the harsh reality of what they have to do off of the Border Patrol. They wouldn't have to work as hard to find people because people would be going to certain points to cross. Whereas without the wall, you got nothing. So I have to disagree. I think it will serve its purpose, but not totally. I think it's just a first step.
Totally. Also, too, Terry, they could swim or take a little boat from Tijuana to San Diego. They're not going to build all the way out into the Pacific. They can find ways to get around it.
Okay, Leon, thanks for the call, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll call you again soon. I won't wait too long.
All right, pal. Let's go to Scott calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Scott, what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good.
I'd like to welcome your guest as well. Brianna, was it?
Yes, it was.
Basically, my question is this: I'm glad that you were saying so earlier that you're so positive about how this is changing in our favor. But what are the numbers as far as senators? What's the makeup on the Republicans and the Democrats as far as like who's against it, who's for it? I guess I'm asking that specifically because that'll give me a better idea of what our situation is. Because I swear to God, the way the federal government works, it's like doom and gloom of how they want to work it. They will work it the way they want to, regardless of what the American people think. And that's so wrong.
Well said, Scott. Let me say this to you.
I'm just trying to get a grip on what the makeup.
4437, most of the Republicans voted for it in the House. I believe 32 Democrats voted for it, Brianna.
32, I think.
32 Democrats voted for it, which is amazing. I mean, that's an amazing number. They should really be applauded. The Democrats should for that. So it, the vast majority in the House are for enforcement. Whereas in the Senate, it's a little different.
The Senate's a mess. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
The Senate's a mess. If you watched any of the hearings, there were 2 weeks worth of hearings, and the Senate was supposed to come up with a version that they could send back to the House to build a compromise with the Sensenbrenner bill.
Well, yeah, I know on the congressional side, we're standing pretty good, but on the senators.
Yeah, they got nothing done.
Yeah, you can write the Senate off, Scott.
Yeah, you can write the Senate off. They did nothing except it was 2 weeks of senators getting up and telling their own stories about their grandparents coming over and they're all immigrants and nobody was willing to actually do anything. But
so worst case, we're looking at they may not do absolutely anything,
which is a victory.
Which, yes, I would agree.
Victory though,
huh?
It would be a victory.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we want positive enforcement done. You're right, Scott. Right now, nothing is something because if we allow the Senate to do what they want, they'd have amnesty for everybody now and everybody's mama from now on. There would be amnesty for the next 20 years. Anybody just got here with a pulse could stay.
The only thing that came out of the Senate was out of the Senate Judiciary Committee with Senator Spector, and that was the Kennedy-McCain bill. And basically what it would do is it would give amnesty to virtually everybody who is currently living in the United States illegally.
Two idiots.
Exactly. Wartime makes strange bedfellows.
So on the Senate part, we're about, 60-40 or 50-50, or just don't know?
My feel from the Senate, because you have to understand there weren't any actual floor votes taken, but it came out of the Senate Judiciary with a bipartisan vote, so which means that quite a few Republicans did vote in favor of it. My feel that it was probably 70% of the Senate was favoring some form of amnesty, maybe 75%.
And, Scott, let me just say this before I let you go. I think that the House is going to stand firm.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if the Senate passed something and sent it back to the House will say, nah, we're not going to touch it. So I my opinion, don't hold me to it, but I think we're in pretty good shape there. And like you said, Scott, nothing is something right now. No bill is a good bill, so we'll see what happens. But thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Tommy calling from Oceanside, California. Tommy, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, I call it Oceanside, Northern Mexico. Excuse me. You're one of the few people, Terry, that understands the real deal. I grew up in L.A., and this lady can kind of listen to somebody that really knows what's happening. What we need is, and one thing that nobody talks about is, and I call all the senators, you people get a hold of the senators. They got a number you call, and then I talk to senators in Tennessee, Wisconsin. I just say, give me a senator. What's the senators from New Jersey? This is an American problem. This is a Democratic or Republican.
Right.
I don't care if you're Democratic, Republican, or from Mars, partner. This country of ours has been invaded by a foreign power, and that foreign power is Mexico. As far as what you were saying, the greatest travesty that's happened in my lifetime is when Ronald Reagan in 86, and I think he was a Republican, gave amnesty to those Mexicans. And look at the mess. If they give any workers' program outside of picking these people up and deporting them and finding these people that these jobs that they're working at, big amount of money, this southwest of the United States is done. It's cooked.
Tommy, let me tell you something about this Ronald Reagan thing. You'll hear people, you know,
Ronald. Gave amnesty.
Well, but you hear.
That's all I got to know.
Okay, well, if you don't mind.
That's all I got to know.
Okay, Tommy, thanks for the call, buddy.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, buddy. What I was trying to say is that Ronald Reagan gave the amnesty, and a lot of people say, well, he was ill-advised. No. When that history book gets written, it's going to say Ronald Reagan gave amnesty. It's going to say Simpson-Mazzoli bill signed by Ronald Reagan in 1986. It's not going to say he was advised by somebody. I am a high school graduate of the L.A. City Schools. That's all the education I have. I was as non-political in 1986 as anybody in this world. I knew nothing. I didn't know a city councilman from a United States senator, but I knew this. When I first heard about the amnesty, I said, this is crazy. This won't work. This is going to create more illegal immigration. It's not going to work. I knew that much. Dumb as I was, I knew that much. And here Ronald Reagan, the president of the world, basically, because he's the president of the strongest country, superpower there ever was, he signed it. Now, if I, little old guy from Dorsey High, knows enough that it's not going to work, why didn't he know it and say, no, I'm not going to sign it?
Who knows?
You know, it's amazing to me, though, Brianna. Here's a guy that should have known. He's leading the world, basically.
Yes.
And he signs this, and people are giving him, they're writing it off and saying, and I'm not trying to vilify the guy's place in history.
No.
All I'm saying was he shouldn't have signed it. And I hold that against Ronald Reagan to this day, because he set in motion what happened at this point in history. He was supposed to amnesty 350,000 people turned to 3.5 million, and they're still giving amnesty to people from the Simpson-Mazzoli time.
Yes.
Late bloomers.
I will say this, though, about today's politicians, if it's any indication, referring to Scott's call a moment ago, you see the Congress being very, very conservative with this issue. You see the Senate being very wishy-washy. All those congressmen are up for re-election in a few months. Senators are not.
Congressmen are always up for re-election in a few months.
Exactly. So you see them, I think, working a little bit harder and thinking a little bit more.
Well, they've got, what a senator does, they kiss up to you once every 6 years, get your money, get your vote, see you. And then 5 years later, they're talking to you again. They got 5 years to forget about you. Whereas a congressman, this guy's got to deal with you every other year. So he's kind of, you know, you can get a kiss or two, you know?
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Let's go to
Oh, boy. Oh, the board's full. No brag. Just fact. Let's go to Marilyn calling from Bakersfield. Marilyn, what do you hear? What do you say?
This is Marilyn from Bakersfield, and I just wanted to let you know, I voted for George Bush twice. After the first 4 years, I thought he did a good job at that time, and then now I'm so disappointed, I'm almost ready to give up the Republican Party and become an independent.
Well, you know, Marilyn, I know a lot of Republicans who are staying in the party, and they're not leaving, but what they're doing, they're trying to transform it back to what it once was. So either way, leave it if you want, or stay there and try to make it what it once used to be. But one thing that's important here, and I said this when I spoke in Texas yesterday, stop giving your money to them. Do not, and I say this to you Democrats also, don't give your money to these parties. Give
Terry, I quit giving my money to him, and
Marilyn.
I filled out surveys saying that immigration was the most important thing
Beautiful.
In my mind and
Beautiful.
All that kind of yeah. stuff.
And one other thing, Marilyn, when you don't give your money, write them and tell them why you didn't give it to them.
I did.
And if you want to give money, you give it to the candidate of your choice, not the party of your choice. That's what's important. Pick
yeah.
somebody like Tom Tancredo or maybe Dana Rohrabacher, who's talking the talk now. Give it to them. You don't have, they have to be in your district. Give it to somebody that you agree with.
Well, I put where they wanted my money. I wrote right there, not until you close the border.
Good for you. Marilyn, thanks for the call. Call
okay.
me again.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Cliff calling from Pasadena, California. Chris, Cliff, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Oh, good. Glad to have you back, Terry.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to ask you and your guest, have you heard about this Council on Foreign Relations building a North American community? I found this, and by 2010, we're supposed to have open borders in the South and in the North, and we're supposed to have a common currency, and it looks like the common currency is going to be the peso. It looks like they've got the play-by-play, and I just want to know, have you heard about this?
Go ahead, Brianna.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it as far as, I mean, I've heard about it, but not being organized under one group and with an official name and website. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Council on Foreign Relations Building North American Community.
Well,
glad to have you back, Terry. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. And, Cliff, one thing.
Yes.
If that's their intention, it's our duty to make sure it doesn't happen. We do have a voice. We have been flexing our muscles lately as the American people. So if you're indeed right, Cliff, we got to do something about it. But thanks for the heads up. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's go to Jim calling from Laguna Hills, California. Jim, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You know, this coming 2006 election looks like the pendulum is swinging towards the Democrat side to take over the House of Reps and the Senate.
Tragedy.
And what I'm really fearing is if they get control of this, they're going to pass amnesty, you know. And, both parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, they want amnesty. So, and the American people just stuck, you know. I mean, who do they vote for?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I don't know if they can get amnesty through even if they take control, because they're not going to have that many votes. But, you know, you never know. And you never know what these Republicans are going to do. They may go with them and vote for it. Who knows? But I think it's important that the Republicans keep the House of Representatives just to keep control of those committees. That is so important in Congress.
Yeah, yeah. Also, about that last caller, by the year 2010, if they do have this North American unity or something like that with Canada and Mexico, there will be a revolution in this country.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Thanks, Jim. Call me again, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Dave calling from Eureka, California, way up at the Oregon border. Dave, what do you hear? What do you say?
I went to a canned food gathering today with our Congressman Mike Thompson. He's trying to collect canned goods for us homeless Americans up here. And I respectfully asked him to resign because he won't change his stance on illegal aliens.
Good for you.
And he just looked at me like I was from another country and said thank you like I was nobody.
But, Dave, you put it on his mind.
I had to go into tears, Terry, because it hurt, because we elected him to protect us
mm-hmm.
from And we need protection from them. We got to take them down.
Everything for everybody except the American public, Dave.
That's
and
right,
you're absolutely right. And you put it on his mind. That's good work, and we applaud you for that. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Jim calling from Hawthorne, California. Jim, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Pretty good.
We missed you down there on our border fence.
We'll get there.
Hey, we had a good time, man. We put up about a quarter mile of fence. Got over 200 people down there. Had a really great time.
Sounds great.
Hey, I was wondering, did W fire up the barbecue down there for y'all?
Not for me. If there was any hot links, I didn't get any of them, I'll tell you that. But you know what? He was off giving a speech somewhere, but you know what? He got word.
Oh,
and that's what's important. He got word. We was in his backyard.
Absolutely.
And that makes the difference.
Hey, does Brianna have a twin sister?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay,
I have a sister who looks a lot like me, but not a twin.
Okay, well, my goodness gracious. Terry, keep up the good work.
Hey, she's I'm sitting across from her. She's awesome.
Hey,
but her husband's right next to her.
Uh-oh.
So that's I'm not going to go any further. Jim, thanks for the call,
okay,
buddy.
Man,
all right. Let's go to Rick calling from Chicago, Illinois. Rick, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Rick Fiasada. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, listen, I don't know what happened, but I walked over by the trailers, by the RVs to talk to Penny and some of the girls over there, and
uh-huh.
That's when you took off. But
yeah,
I'll catch you the next time. You owe me a steak today.
I owe you a steak, buddy. Absolutely.
I just want to thank all the people for coming out there yesterday. It was an honor to be a speaker out there, and especially Frank George and Loopy for putting on such a patriotic event.
Fabulous event.
And I just want to remind all your listeners that I did bring out an address for President Bush, our commander-in-chief. That's his new uniform because he governs like a girl.
He does. As Arnold would say, a girly man.
He's a girly man. As a matter of fact, I said that first in my book before Arnold knew what the term meant in English.
Good for you.
So listen, Terry, it was a pleasure being out there. And
as just always.
Thank all the Patriots for coming out, and we had a real good time.
My best to Darlene, Rick.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
Will.
Take care.
All right, bye.
All right, let's go to Elliot calling from Glendale, California. Elliot, you got about 30 seconds. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, since we're running out of time, I'm going to mention a website that has all the information, how you can click on a link to Sonny Sardo's website. You can click on to California Coalition for Immigration Reform, a whole bunch of good stuff and voter information. If they go to www.elliotgram.com, that's spelled with two L's and two T's, I've got a goldmine of information that people have to learn real fast before this primary election. And then I have another one.
Make it quick, Elliot. I gotta go.
Yeah, stopfeedingthedragon.com. That's another threat that costs American jobs. It's this trade imbalance with China. So it's stopfeedingthedragon.com and elliotgram.com. And
all right, Elliot. Thanks.
They'll get all the information they need.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
But thank you.
All right, let's go real quick to Irene, caller from Sunland. Irene, you got about 15 seconds.
Yeah, hi, Terry. Yes, this is Irene. I've been waiting to call you since Friday. I was shocked when I went to my Sunland post office that morning, and they look like day laborers, and they were scraping the wall. They're going to be painting it. And
the post office.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the Sunland post office. And if anybody wants a job painting a wall, they scrape the wall and paint it, because I believe they're still continuing on it. They're not even matching the color right, unless they're going to paint all the wall around the post office.
Jeez.
And I want to encourage black Americans, white Americans, brown Americans, Mexicans,
gotta
whatever
go,
race,
Irene.
But I want the new Americans. And I am sick. I mean, when I saw them,
gotta go, Irene.
Word of English and
Irene, I'm out of time. I gotta go.
Them and these employers.
Thanks for the call, Irene. I appreciate it. Sorry, gotta go. I hate to cut you off.
Yeah.
I want everybody to stick around. Don't forget, read this week with the swings. We have virtual borders and lobotomy, Democrat style. You can read that on our website. And I want you to stick around for Loris Rascala, Just a Woman Radio, the new bully on campus, political correctness, and she's giving away free tickets to United 93. Stick around. Maybe you can win them. Great show. I want to thank you so much for coming in, Brianna.
Thank you, Terry.
Appreciate
you
for coming all the way down. Oh, I did, too. It was fun. We're going to do it again.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much. Folks, I want to remind you, we need your help to stay on air. Please send your donation to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. Don't forget our good buddy, Rusty Childress, Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue, Camelback in Phoenix, Arizona. New website, Immigration Buzz. I want to thank Mike Reed, Engineer Deluxe, for doing the show tonight. Don't forget those three websites we talk about every week, folks, you can go to. That's theterryandersonshow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at deportaliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com, where you can see yours truly giving his speech in Crawford, Texas. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.